hope you're having a great Thursday afternoon. Maybe you took the day off because you're a fan of American football, and it's American Thanksgiving. The Packers lead the Lions 31-24, 2:48 left in the fourth quarter. A key 3rd and 5 right now for the Packers to try to extend this drive with the Lions only back by 7 points. We'll keep you. And there's Jordan Love with another key pass. Locker was the only one to pick the Packers. The only one to pick the Packers on our Pick'em League, so he is quite happy with what's going on right now. But our attention is going to turn to Halifax, the Canadian Olympic trials, and drama already played out earlier today.
Christina Black to run her out of stones and to play to go to the Olympics against Rachel Holman. Christina Black make the final 6-3. Black is your winner.
Oh, what a moment in Halifax. Russ Howard has you covered on, of course, curling on TSN. Joining us now from Halifax. Russ, what a tournament so far. The ends yesterday in the women's draw and the men's draw. The game earlier today. How much have you enjoyed this spiel so far?
Well, it's absolutely nuts. We knew it was going to be crazy. That's my favorite event, obviously, every 4 years. And as a TV personality now, oh, my God. The drama, the shot-making, the unexpected ups and downs of something like the Gushue shot. I looked at it a few minutes ago. I was waiting to talk to you guys. There isn't an eighth of an inch between those two rocks. And if he hits either one of them, he wins. And yeah, you could be there for a month trying to punch it through the hole, and he managed to punch it through the hole. Christina Black's just an amazing story because she just, as my daughter says, she loves the game so much. It's like she's honoring the game by enjoying it the way she's enjoying it, and that's her secret. You know, they're all good curlers, but they've got a hell of a good attitude.
Can you speak quickly, Russ, to the connection with the Black rink and the Jones family? And I just love that story.
Yeah, for sure. Christina Black and Joe Brothers were young, up-and-coming adult curlers, and they hooked up with the great Marianne Arsenault, who's one of my best friends. Marianne and I and Grant Ogershaw, my other best friend, do clinics all around North America, and curling clinics. And, of course, Marianne was part of arguably the best team ever, along with maybe Sandra Schmirler, for sure. In my opinion, they're the two best teams ever. Won 5 Canadian championships. Well, Marianne learned from Pauline, passed it down to Christina Black and Jill, and they picked up some younger players, and a few years later, here they are, and they're good. People don't realize that when in the curling world, if you're not in the Grand Slams, people think you don't know how to curl. But it's hard. When I lived down east, it was very, very tough to get into the Grand Slams because you have to generate points to get in them, and you can't generate points because the bond spiels aren't weighted heavily enough down here. So I knew how good she was, and the rest of the world's starting to find out.
Yeah, and the Jones family was there today. Colleen's son engaged to a member of the team. That was an emotional moment today.
Yeah,
there was tears all over that rink with Colleen Jones. Yeah. A jersey hanging in the suite, Russ. Like, how big was that for Halifax and Nova Scotia on the loss of Colleen to see one of their own rinks make the final?
Well, no kidding. I think CBC did close to a half-hour show on Colleen's passing, and that's a credit to Colleen and the person she was. And I've done a lot of interviews lately because of it, and the same thing comes to mind because she was a good friend also, and her zest for life, her enthusiasm, her drive to get better, and not just in curling. It was in life. It was in family. It was with her job. It was with, you know, the curling, of course. She just had that desire. I remember she had to be, I'm guessing, 55 years old, and I did an hour and a half Skype call with her team on strategy because she just wanted to get that little bit better, hopefully. And I said to my wife, I'm trying to help out Colleen Jones. You got to be kidding me. But that's the way she was. No stone was unturned. And again, she did the same with broadcasting. She was an incredible broadcaster with CBC, and she'll be sorely missed for sure.
Russ, how do you feel about the last stone, the LSD, the draw to decide things?
To break ties, yeah, it's probably the best way to break a tie. But do we really need to break a tie? Like we used to play a playoff game. If I'm at 4-3 and you're at 4-3 for the last playoff spot, we decide it by playing a game.
Yeah,
I think as a competitor, I like that much better. Because Caitlin lost at the best. She made an unbelievable shot to win her game last night, only to find out that her draw to the button wasn't as good as Christina Black's. And she's now out of the event. And she actually, playing with Jennifer Jones, had the last tied for the last playoff spot at the Olympics 4 years ago, eight years ago. I can't remember which one it was. And she got eliminated. She was tied with Eve Muirhead at 4-3. Their draw the button was worse than Eve Muirhead. They are now eliminated, and Eve Muirhead went on and won a gold medal. So I don't like it personally as a competitor, but they've decided for whatever reason they don't have time for tiebreakers.
I like my idea. I bounced this off of Jamie yesterday. It's patch points.
You get points in the patch
for how well you do in the patch.
Yeah. I know a couple teams that would be really good at that.
Yeah. I was like, if you offered that up to Benny Hebert, they never miss a final.
Absolutely.
Russ Howard joining us, of course, currently on TSN in Halifax ahead of the men's semi tonight. Again, we talked about the women's ending last night, and this morning, the goose you shot last night. Of course, I don't even know if Matt Dunstone was so mad at himself that he lost to McEwen that he thought he was done. Ryland Kleider beats Cooey, which brings Dunstone back to life because he needs Guju to lose, comes down to the last stone. Now Dunstone is getting ready to take on. How hard would that be for a competitor? Because it looked like Matt was just at the conclusion, I'm out. And now, oh no, I got to be ready for Mike McEwen again after losing to him last night.
I've never been in that situation, but it's got to be extremely hard. You're right. He looked defeated. He looked absolutely spent, and the hard part about this event is Dunstone's a great example. He goes 4-0, plays fun, best team here.
Yeah,
4-0. He goes out and plays Cooey, who nobody really expected to challenge. He runs out of time, throws a goofy rock with his last one, sets up a triple, and Cooey makes it. And they haven't won a game since. They lost to Cooey, they lost to Jacobs, and then just lost to Mike. And then he thought that was it. We've just blown our chance. We're out of it. And now he's got to regroup. And that's kind of our story. Probably our opening tonight will be, can Matt get off the mat?
The Cooey, that triple. I think the most surprised person in the building was Cooey. He looked shocked.
Yeah. Well, funny you'd say that. I've played against Kevin Cooey and broadcast watching him for probably best part of 30 years, and I've never seen him react that excited. He's so stoic. And
yeah, he was shaking. It was hey, I got a quick sort of retirement question for you. So Brad, at the Battle of the Brads last night, and it was heartbreaking to see Guccio go out like that, just with because that triple was, it was sitting right there. How will Brad be remembered in your eyes, Russ?
Well, the biggest single curling moment I had in all those years I curled was with Brad Guccio. So that's how I'll remember it. We won a gold medal for our country. Maybe more importantly, back then, we won the Canadian Trials, which was arguably harder back then, not anymore, but back then. So we won two very significant events together. So I feel like we're buddies for life that way. And that was such a great story all those years ago with three young guys and the old fossil. And we managed to pull it off. And
were you throwing second or third?
I skipped the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And threw second.
Second. Okay, you were right. Yeah. I thought he was throwing third.
Yeah, I was like, no, he was the second. Yeah. And then called the game, of course. Well, yeah. You were 50 back then, Russ. Yep. Those Olympics, you turned 50 at the Olympics, I do believe.
Good memory. Yeah.
Guju was 25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you reflect on over the last 20 years of Brad Guju being as dominant as he has in Canadian curling?
It's Good question, because after we won, I had many, many high-end curlers, because keep in mind, I was kind of at the top of my, actually, I was past my prime by then, but all the people that were the top players in the country are going, well, that's not right, the Gucci won, he just got lucky, and you know, they're too young, and that's not that we set the wrong team, and yada, yada, yada. And it took Brad Gushue, he didn't win a Breyer till I want to say 17, so it took him 11 years to win a Breyer. He got close. And part of the reason he didn't win is he didn't have four good players. When he, all of a sudden he picked up Brett Gallant and he picked up Walker and all that stuff, and all of a sudden he started winning. But it took him that long. But once he won that first Breyer, it's like they let him out of a cage and all the pressure was off.
Yeah.
You know, and then he won six of them. Probably the most dominant stretch in the men's curling ever.
Let's focus on what's ahead on the men's side. Saskatchewan's cheering for that trio of Saskatchewanians led by the Manitoban Mike McEwen. What do you think their chances are against, you know, if they get past Dunstone against a darn good, you know, almost all-star team with Brad Jacobs skipping
Jacobs
it?
Team looks good.
Better than I think people realize. They're Mike McEwen's a brilliant player. Colton Flash sometimes is the dominant player in the team. The Marsh brothers get better every time I see them. I think it's like somewhere between, you know, 45% and 55%, depending on who shows up that day. I really do. Jacobs can be beaten. He showed a couple games he's been off. But, you know, I think part of the problem, when you get to that, you get to the, I've been there once in my life, you get to that rarefied air of you're in a, you know, one game or two games away from the Olympics, it's who handles it the best, because they're all great players. And the advantage for Jacobs, it doesn't mean it's going to work for him, but the advantage is he's got four gold medalists that have been there, done it, and Mike's got zero. So if they control their emotions, which isn't easy to do, they can be Jacobs.
Are you okay with the best of three format?
I love it. I love it a lot. I think it was kind of brought in for Rachel Holman, to be honest. If Christina Black plays the way she does today, she's going to the Olympics. And this way, if she beats Holman twice, she deserves to go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
She just beat Anderson. Why can't you beat Holman? So it's curling. It's I've been around way too long. I've seen so many upsets. It's not funny. So, Mike's got a real good chance. He's three wins away, and he wins tonight. He only has to win two out of three. That's the way you have to look at it.
Well, Russ, I know you're on the air in an hour and a half. We'll let you run. Thank you so much for joining us back here in Saskatchewan. Hope you plugged in the car at the airport.
This is fun, Russ.
I heard it snowing.
Yeah.
Getting a little skiff here.
Not too bad. Nothing that, no snowbanks outside yet. Okay. Anyways, Rusty. Thank you so much for your time.
Perfect. You bet. Anytime, guys.
That is Russ Howard joining us from, of course, curling on TSN as the trials get going with the semifinal on the men's side. Mike McEwen, Matt Dunstone, Brad Jacobs awaits the winner. We already know who's in the women's final. It's Rachel Holman against the hometown favorite in Halifax, Christina Black. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with the year in the Green Zone. One final on American Thanksgiving. The Green Bay Packers have beat the Detroit Lions, as predicted by only one person in the Green Zone Celebrity Pick'em League. That is Locker.
I'm going to go home and have a bowl of cheese.
A whole bowl of cheese?
Yep.
Look at that.
Any crackers?
I am the only one.
How about some crackers with that cheese? No?
Will Post Malone have a better halftime show than Creed for the Dallas Cowboys, Kansas City Chiefs as kickoff in game number two
of an American Thanksgiving triple header is about to begin. Our Green Zone Rider reporter and cowboy aficionado, Britton Gray, joins us for a little NFL chat on American Thanksgiving. I'm just happy you actually showed up today. I was fully expecting not to see the whites of your eyes in the workplace on this American Thanksgiving.
Oh, ye of little faith, Jamie. Come on now. Thanksgiving miracle, some would say.
Have you gotten anything done today, though?
Absolutely, I have. The Rider signed Daniel Weeb. Got that story written up. You've got a little story for tomorrow as well.
Yeah, Daniel Weeb, the draft pick, and was pretty impressive in training camp, too, for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Very impressive for the University of Saskatchewan Huskies this season. First-team All-Star signs his deal, like Seth Hundeby a few days ago. Let's start with a little that Rider news. Another draft pick, another Canadian receiver to add to this depth for Jeremy O'Day. It's quite impressive on what he has coming through for Canadian depth, just in case Mitch Pickton doesn't come back, Sam Emilis doesn't come back, or Kean Schaefer-Baker.
Well, it gives you options. You're not waiting around. You don't have to scramble and find someone in free agency to come do it. You have the pipeline there. Another guy to pay attention to, Eric Anderson. He was the U Sports Offensive Lineman of the Year. Of course, the Rider draft pick. So once Jeremy O'Day and his drafting has just been top-notch over the past few seasons.
Is this a strategy that started here in Saskatchewan for CFL teams? Has it been adopted by other CFL franchises?
Like Canadian receivers?
The focus on Canadian talents and...
I think that not... Really, there are some teams that have deeper Canadian talent than others, but I think
this is clearly
Rough Riders thing. Jeremy O'Day is looking at where the talent lies and where you can have, you know, ratio breakers, so to speak. And these we're seeing it across the board, like Mechie in the United, Ian Manor is another Canadian receiver in the National Football League. Palmer, like he's looking at there's a lot of good Canadian talent in the receiving core to increase the depth there.
It feels like the Riders have taken the lead in terms of receivers and linebackers, really using more Canadian linebackers as more teams are starting to go to those ratio breakers. BC has done a good job with their Canadian wide receivers as well. Of course, Winnipeg Blue Bombers and their Canadian running backs, they've really found that niche. Every team has a certain way. I won't say Jeremy O'Day and the Riders created that strategy, but they've definitely perfected it in recent years.
But look at the offensive line. A lot of people just default to three Canadian offensive linemen. He had four Americans and one Canadian in the Grey Cup, and Trevor Harris didn't get touched. So I'll be interested to see how many more teams start to go, maybe we'll use more American offensive linemen and use our Canadians elsewhere for the starting rotation.
Because you see it in other leagues, the copycat thing, right? If thing works... Yeah. You know, a lot of other franchises will start to look at what they're doing and go, okay, why is Jeremy O'Day being successful in Saskatchewan? A couple of years now, they've had success. What are they doing? And maybe you start to see a little bit of that duplication.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at Canadian quarterbacks. More teams are starting to pay attention to those Canadian quarterbacks because Nathan Rourke, and he's a ratio breaker now because they changed the rules to where a Canadian quarterback does affect the ratio. Edmonton, they tried it. Curtis Rourke got drafted. Taylor Algersma. Teams are drafting Canadian quarterbacks higher because they now know they can use that position as a ratio breaker.
Britton Gray is joining us here on the Green Zone. It is American Thanksgiving. Thoughts on game one. Four touchdown passes from Jordan Love as the Packers go into Detroit and beat the Lions, who lost Amon-Ra St. Brown today.
The very up and down division kind of in that game. The Green Bay Packers have been very inconsistent, but we got the good Green Bay Packers today. Micah Parsons was out there, 2.5 sacks.
He looked good.
Jordan Love, 4 touchdowns. Can they do that weekly? That's what remains to be seen. And boy, the Detroit Lions are beat up. Amon-Ra St. Brown, just the latest injury that team has to deal with. They're missing some offensive linemen. You can definitely tell they're missing players. And so congratulations to the Packers, but who would have had the Chicago Bears leading that division or right at the top?
For now, if they lose tomorrow, either the Packers regain top spot in that division as we have the Cowboys underway on Thanksgiving. Who will be? Do they still have the Salvation Army kettle in the end zones for this one?
Yes.
Who's jumping in today, do you think?
C.D. Lamb, probably. Maybe George Pickens.
Oh, I got
Kelsey jumped in once, didn't he? Hasn't he jumped in?
I don't know if the Chiefs has never played the Thanksgiving Day in Dallas. So
Why do I have a memory of?
I'm gonna go with Kelsey.
I'm thinking of something else
today. But this is a big game for both these teams, Britton. 6-5 Chiefs, 5-5-1 Dallas Cowboys. Let's start with the boys. How big is this one for the Cowboys playoff chances?
It's massive when you look at who they have down the stretch here. You have to kind of keep pace with the Philadelphia Eagles to try and win the division. I saw the graphic. With the loss today, the Kansas City Chiefs' chances of playoffs drops to 43%. A loss for the Cowboys drops theirs down to 7%. This is a massive game for both these teams.
Yeah.
And we'll have to wait and see it. Not off to the best start for the Cowboys, though.
Dak Prescott just threw an interception.
Where were you at the beginning of the season with the Cowboys? Because they're playing 500 ball right now. You were not in that canoe, were you?
No, I this team frustrated me. I didn't like what they did to Micah Parsons, how Jerry Jones has traded it. In fairness, too, they're 500 ball right now, but that's with the trade to Quinnen Williams. Quinnen Williams there has really helped this defense a lot more than I thought he was going to. I like their chances if they can beat the Chiefs.
But not many people had Dallas.
No, there was not a lot of good vibes in the NFC East. Dallas.
Yeah.
There was a lot. Washington coming into the season. Yeah. Jaden Daniels, what's he going to do? Oh, the Giants, where you maybe thought they were going to take another step forward, but they've been terrible. So I get where myself
and
everyone.
The Eagles aren't even that strong, to be fair.
The NFC East, it's a weird division. You never know what you're getting there, but. Yeah, I wasn't big on the Cowboys. They've been playing better, but you need a marquee win against a non-divisional opponent because divisional games, weird things always happen. You can always find an upset there every now and then.
Britton Gray's here on the Green Zone. Of course, we were surprised to see Britton.
Oh, come on!
In the office today, and he's ready to flip a table because Rashee Rice just went in for a touchdown on the first play after the interception from Dak Prescott, so the Chiefs are up already.
Just spot teams 21 points and come back. Yeah, that's the Dallas Cowboys
way. That's what they did last week. We are having the conversation on to get American Thanksgiving off as a stat holiday. We might need to sacrifice something Canadian. What is it you would be willing to sacrifice that is Canadian?
For a moment, he had three down football on the.
He did not.
He was joking. He was clearly joking.
I said everything as a joke. But you know, I can get rid of some Tim Hortons coffee. Get rid of that. I like really sugary drinks, so I can take some of those sugary American coffees.
All right.
Some whipped cream. A lot of caramel.
Timmy's isn't
He's
even
giving
Canadian
up Tim's.
But
that's a rough one. Okay, we'll put you down for Tim. We got a text from Rick. Is Kit Kat Canadian? He's mad at Kit Kat.
I thought Coffee Crisp was the Canadian one, wasn't it?
That's what I thought. So he wants to get rid of
Kit Kats might be too.
Dan's willing to give up Connor McDavid.
He thinks they'll still win Olympic gold without Connor McDavid for Team Canada. Like send him to the States? Oof.
Him and Austin Matthews together.
And the Hughes brothers and, oh, goodness. Pass.
Austin Matthews just needs to stay on the ice for more than a week.
1-877-332-8255. It is a triple header on American Thanksgiving of football. We already have one final, the Packers over the Lions, as Locker was the only one to predict that on the Pick'em League.
Bring it.
And the Chiefs are beating the Cowboys, which is not good news. For the Green Zone guys on the Pick'em League, only Belton Johnson picked the Chiefs, I do believe. We all went with the Cowboys.
Well,
the FMs all went with Taylor Swift's boyfriend today, for the most part.
By the way, Dean's willing to give up the Toronto Maple Leafs to get
American Thanksgiving off.
Yeah.
Toronto Maple Leafs, okay. 1-877-332-8255. Let us know now what you Canadians would be willing to give up, sacrifice, to get this day as a stat holiday so we could just be at home drinking a cold one and watching football. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you on this Thursday afternoon as the Chiefs lead the Cowboys 7-0 in the second game of a triple header for American Thanksgiving. Turkey Day down south means football day for the NFL fans earlier was the Packers beating the Lions 31-24 as Jordan Love threw four touchdown passes. I'll be honest, as much as Locker and I and Britton Gray and Justin Blackwell, we truly love doing radio. On a day like today, we'd much rather be at home watching football. So we're asking you, what would you sacrifice to get American Thanksgiving off?
Tyrone wants to give them Calgary.
Calgary?
Yeah, he's
not a fan of the Stamps or the Flames.
He wants Calgary to go south, so there you go. Tony, this one's shocking. He does have a sort of a secondary, like he said, he has a go-to other than beer, but he's willing to give up beer. I don't know. That's not a exclusive to Canadians, but
it's better than American beer.
Well, yeah, that's true. But Tony's like, there's always whiskey, right? I can always have
Canadian. No, we're not giving that up.
We're not giving up Canadian whiskey.
Maple syrup? Can we give up maple syrup?
I don't mind a little maple syrup. Monica, again, she's swinging it back to the political spectrum. She wants to give them Justin Trudeau.
Well, I think Katy Perry's taking care of that for us, hasn't she?
Good luck with that, Katy. I was such a fan of Katy Perry.
Pardon?
I like Katy Perry.
You were a fan of Katy Perry? I did not have that.
Really?
If I would have wrote a list of artists that you would have on your playlist or not have on your playlist, I am stunned.
You don't like Katy Perry?
Let me tell you a little story here, Locker. And for all those cheer parents out there, you know that they play Katy Perry, Miley Cyrus, and Taylor Swift over and over and over again at cheer competitions.
So you get sick of it?
Yes.
There you go.
And the whole left shark thing or right shark or whatever shark it was in the halftime show.
Come on. This is a jam. You know what? You know when I started to like Katy Perry? And this is me admitting something that I don't like to talk about. It's a major guilty pleasure of mine. But I watch American Idol every year. I loved her on American Idol. Actually, I missed her last year. They're making dreams come true.
You do not watch that.
Text my wife.
Like,
yep.
All every season?
Yep. I've been watching it since Kelly Clarkson.
Wow.
I love
you
that show.
You hate bad singing. Like, you despise bad singers, and that show puts a highlight on so many mid singers until like the last four episodes
when they
finally whittle it down to good ones.
No, it's over the years they haven't had the
oh yeah, because they changed it because
William Hung's,
oh my goodness, the American Idol has gone woke, because now the judges, you can't make fun of anybody, so now it's, they don't have that comic relief anymore because you don't want to shame anybody who's already signed the waiver to be on live television and sound like a horse.
They don't necessarily make fun of them. They kind of let them do that themselves, right? And you still have the crazy ones, the ones that are doing it just to get a viral sort of video going or whatever.
I can't believe this, Locker. I'm almost disappointed in you, to be quite honest.